Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to In the Pocket. My name's Johnny, and my name's Chris. Did you cut out? Oh, you've gone. You've fucking gone. Oh, no. We need to start again. I said, my name's Johnny, and went over to you, and I took over with the background music.
Oh,
and then,
no.
And then it completely cut out.
Why did it freeze?
I don't know. I don't think
we should cut it. I think we should leave it.
Yeah, well, if it's all in sync, then that's perfect.
I hope so.
Hello, and welcome to In The Pocket. My name's Johnny.
And my name's Chris.
Two totally average news anchors, I mean bass players, and we're here to talk all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, each week we take a look at the latest news.
And that's it.
And breakdowns and times, all to give you the lowdown on the low end. If you hadn't guessed from our very professional intro and our very professional attire, today is a news special. It's been a good couple of weeks since we've done any news because we've been so guest heavy and, you know, it takes up a lot of time. And we did the Ashdown special last week. So now it's a special omnibus because now we're just doing news in this episode. And Chris, I might say it is jam-packed with news, breaking news this week. So
there is no breaking news this week. Everything we are talking about this week is at least 3 weeks old.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
There's a lot to talk about. So I'm sure we'll jump straight over it in a minute. I would prefer it on like the BBC if they would just like have a little chat before, you know. How's your week been? How's your week been, Jerry?
I don't know your thoughts on it, but it is a bit of a downer. Listening to the news, usually.
Should we just do it from now on? Like, way, pump up the spirits, get people going, always end the news in a really great, nice thing, you know? Mm. You're like John Krasinski.
Well, that is the thing, apparently. It's deliberate that the news ends on an uplifting story. Have you always noticed that? If you watch, like, the 6 o'clock news, the last thing is, like, kind of a... I don't know, a nan knits a scarf the size of a tree, you know, that kind of thing.
It's like,
but then everything up to that is kind of like murder, death, murder,
yeah,
sweeping political statement, yeah.
And then look at this, Nana's knitting shreddies. Lovely.
Exactly.
That's a very British advert reference there.
Yeah, if you're not British, that'll mean nothing to you.
Straight over your heads.
Full moon, half moon, total eclipse.
Right, where were we? Chris, has your bass playing week been? Have you recovered since our long road trip to Ashdown and beyond?
Just about, yeah. It was pretty good. I did have a gig. I've had a gig in the gap since the trip and tonight when we've recorded the episode. Also, oh my God, I just realised. We are technically in Halloween fancy dress right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It is Halloween.
It's Halloween right now.
Oh my God. I might guess we might get some trick or treaters. If we do, I'll take the camera down and we'll go live.
Yeah, I will do. I will do too. Join a bass. Don't forget to like and subscribe. But yes,
people would go as influencers. My week.
Pardon?
So I bet some people would go as influencers for Halloween.
Probably.
That's what I want to be.
So you can go as you.
Yeah, scary enough.
I mean, as I showed you earlier today, you have got some influence now.
You know, just heavy, YouTube heavy hitter, they call me.
Absolutely. Yes, my week has been very good. I did my first gig with the new bass.
Of course.
And it was very good. It's a very It's a very playable bass, which is very nice because that's exactly why I bought it.
That is the biggest backhanded compliment I've ever heard. It's very playable. What? It sounds so good. I've played it. I've heard it. It's great.
Well, no, you know what I mean. Yes. I meant like kind of like, you know, I played it for 2 60-minute sets and there was no like, you know, there was no fatigue, basically. Yes. I could go all night, quite literally. Although now it's got flats on it, which I'm very excited to mess around with.
See,
I've taken the flats off the Godan. So these are 9-month-old flat worms already and just put them straight onto the P-Bass.
9 months old, is that it?
Well, I can't afford to drop
flats.
50 quid on.
Real flats need to be worn in for like 20 years before they're any good.
I'm working on it. Okay. what, buy the fucking strings when I was 8?
They should be dragged behind a car before you can use them.
I did actually read a good way to speed up flat rounds is basically to like cover your hands in hairspray and then just get hairspray and hair gel all over the strings, leave them overnight, and then with like a slightly damp towel, get the actual crap off them, and then they're all great and worn in. I am not willing to do that.
Sounds
awful.
Because
I feel like if you get it, one, that's horrible. Two, I think you could run a chance of ruining the fretboard. And three,
Surely you do that. Wait, you do that when the strings are on?
Apparently.
That sounds horrific, and I refuse to believe that that's any good.
It's actually Danny Sparko's fault.
Oh, yes, of course. He's like, this is how you do it.
Everyone believes him.
If you're watching, I want him as a guest. I really do. I need a fellow northerner on the podcast to talk about bass.
I can't hear that.
Then we'll get Matt back on to like bring the southern back in, you know.
Top 5 times Lemmy fell through windscreen.
Stop it.
The listeners can't handle it. I've had some paper. I'd be rustling it.
I never even asked you about your week. If you don't care, if you don't want to answer, it's fine.
Sorry. My week has been good. I've not really done anything. I've done a few videos and stuff. I'll talk about that a bit later, but that's it, really. No gigs. Got a gig on this Saturday, which should be good.
Anywhere local?
To me, it's about an hour and a half. It's in Weymouth, which is a seaside town.
Where is Weymouth? Is that more south of you?
Yes. So you will have no idea where it is.
I've been to Bournemouth. Is it near Bournemouth?
Well, no. I don't think so. No.
Okay.
Or is it? I don't know. But it's always, we've played there loads and it's always a really good gig. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well,
I have found some paper, but it's laminated.
It's not really going to work. Well, I found a cardboard box. I found shoe shine sponge. So
let's make do with these.
Honestly, if you're just listening to this, screw you. me and Johnny have put not a lot of money, but a lot of time and worry into making this look borderline acceptable.
Zero money. Let's crack on with the news.
Yes.
If it looks like I'm kind of leaning over like this, it's because I'm getting to my laptop, because I'm going to share my screen with you all so that you can see what I'm seeing, and we can have a look at some lovely, lovely guitars. Let's start things off in the world of Sterling, shall we?
Sterling bass.
They have been hitting the headlines recently with two hot new releases. See if I can share my screen on this bad boy now. This one is, we're still going to start off with the somewhat controversial one, I suppose.
Oh, we'll do the crap one first. Okay.
Here, can you see my screen, Chris? Can you see it?
I'm about to. Hang on. I can see it.
Oh, you can see
cool.
it. That's good.
This is cool.
There we go. So here we have, it's here, the Sterling by Music Man, Dark Ray. You might remember, it was a couple of years ago probably, they brought out
two years ago, the original one maybe.
They've done a new color recently.
That's nice.
They brought out the Dark Ray. It's essentially the Alfa Omega dark glass distortion pedal built into a Music Man Stingray. Well, now they have... It's shut up. Now they have built kindly, ever so kindly, put it into a more, I've put this in quotes, affordable housing and making it in Indonesia under Sterling. So we have got a more, quotes again, affordable version of the Dark Ray. We've spoken about this a little bit before. It's not really our thing.
No.
This concept, putting effects in the bass. I like to have things on and off, you know, quite a lot. And for a quite aggressive effect, like, I don't know. I don't like the positioning of where it would be in the chain. It doesn't work for my style. And I think it's a bit gimmicky myself. It's cool to see those companies going together. And I think Dark Blast pioneer a lot of things in many ways. But this is not certainly something that I'm that interested in. I think when you hear it in context of people playing it, it's like, yeah, it sounds cool, it sounds good, but like, I don't really have any application for this. And you're probably just going to agree with me, Chris, aren't you? It's the same.
Yeah, in short, yes. It is a cool concept. It looks really cool, by the way. I love the aesthetic of the bass, and then it stops there. But yeah, I'm exactly the same. I just don't see a practical application for what I need for this bass. Because again, the main thing for me is, it's like, I was thinking, if it's a gig, I feel like it's a bit too fiddly. And you know, your hands are kind of doing something else while you're playing, when you're playing a bass, which is why they invented pedals that live on the floor, so you could use your feet multitasking. And even then, I still get it wrong. Yeah. And then the main thing for me, though, is like, this removes the ability or option to capture like a clean DI.
Yeah.
You know what they missed a trick with, and they should have done this?
Stereo output.
Stereo jack,
yeah.
They should have given the option where, and I bet you can mod it. There will be a way, surely, where... a stereo jack would be great, because what you could do then is, if you're recording and you need a DI, more of an emergency than an actual creative decision, because it's always best to capture a DI, whether you're doing guitars and or bass, or drums, drum DI. A stereo jack is going to give you the ability to like separate the effect of the bass from an actual clean signal. But then at the same time, though, we talk about committing to a tone quite a lot. And is this really any different than basically committing to recording a bass through your pedal board?
I mean, I guess that's it, isn't it? Also got a 3-band preamp on board, I believe. Yes.
Two band,
is it? What's the other knob for?
I think, isn't it just bass and treble?
Let's have a look, shall we?
Yeah, go on.
Blah, 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 blah. A knob, change color. Yes, yes, yes. What have we got here? Controls. Yes, you're right. 2-band preamp and then a volume gain blend. Blends, that's what I'm forgetting.
Oh, it's a blend.
I'm glad it's got a blend. So you probably get, you know, it's going to sound good. It's going to sound good, but it's just not for us. Do you know what else is not for us? Chris, would you like to hazard a guess of how much this bass costs?
Isn't it like £1,700?
It's £1,800.
Oh my God.
Made in the USA. I mean, Indonesia.
Made in some bloke shed in Barnsley.
It's, well, then it would be like £6,000. My God.
Yeah, but UK made, wouldn't it?
Bass. Shut up. Yeah, it's so much money.
It's unforgivable. That's unforgivable.
It's too much money, man. And you know, it's Dark Glass being like, just, you know, ramp up the cost big time. Not saying this for like a facetious reason, but I just think that they add a lot of value with their brand, you know, putting it in there, and it's just way too much money. Like, because this is essentially just a pimped out, Ray 34, right? Same spec,
I believe,
all round,
so, yeah.
Apart from the electronics. Yeah. So if you were to look at that, they're like, what? I want to say 1,200 new nowadays. Is this really adding like £600 more?
Well, how much is it to buy an Alfa Omega?
Oh,
Ultra.
Ultra.
Oh, no, but it won't be the Ultra. It'd just be the Omicron.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not even...
Which is like a what? 180 quid pedal?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So basically, you could buy a Ray 34, new, an Alfa Omega Omicron, new.
Yeah.
Have the function of blending between the Alfa and the Omega side, which this can't do. And then have a bit more of a tone control, I guess. Nah, you know, we'll not say that because you have got the EQ on the bass.
Yeah.
And still be cheaper.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. It's wild. And it's just a faddy gimmick, I think. And yeah,
It's not for me.
I want to see it no more.
Yeah. If you've got one and you like it, that's fine.
Yeah.
See a doctor. Anyway, move on.
Going from complicated electronics on board to not complicated electronics on board. That's good segue there.
Not bad at all.
Not bad. I'm going to be a bit sluggish going between these transitions. I don't think that I can make it smooth.
I was going to ask, are you able, for the listeners at home, are you not just able to like jump between tabs or not let you do that?
Well, should we find out on the next one?
Yes, find out.
We'll find out.
Make sure you close any tabs you don't want people seeing.
Oh, don't worry. That's all hidden far away. I've got a whole other laptop and hard drive for that, so it's fine.
Good lad. Oh, spoilers.
Hello, here we have the brand new, even newer, this news is even hotter and more breaking, the brand new Pete Wentz signature Stingray. This is, you know, the Fallout Boy bassist has had a signature model before in the Squire Precision bass. If you remember the black and red one with the maple neck and like logo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that came out at like such a perfect time when so many people listening to them at the time were growing up with them kind of thing. And
it
went down really well. And I think this one is going down really well as well. We can see here, roasted maple neck, the duck loon inlay, so cool, in a Fiesta red with a gold anodized pick guard. And then it also comes in black. Electronics, let's talk about that. Like, it's passive Stingray, which is really cool, and the first Sterling artist bass, you know, like these are big things that Sterling are doing here, and I was super excited when I first found out about this. I was like, yes, this is going to be amazing. What you think, man?
Big fan of this. I actually can't think of a bad thing to say about this. I do not mind that's passive. I was a bit skeptical at first, but I saw your video on it and thought, well, there's more than enough zing with the tone on full, more than enough. Have you still got it behind you there?
I've still got it behind me.
Very nice. Go.
So I have got the vase we're talking about right here.
Wow,
look at that, as if it was planned. I've just demoed this, and it's bloody good. Like, it's so good. It's really, really, like you said, a lot of zing for a passive bass. Like, I want to know what it sounds like once the strings have died, but if I'm honest, I think it's still going to sound really mellow and but fat and like scoopy.
Well, it sounded really, really good. Nice. It sounded really good when you rolled the tone down to like 50%. The way off, still sounded really good. Yeah. It looks the part. It does that thing that I like with a signature instrument where you could really not like Fall Out Boy, still own this bass, and it wouldn't be weird.
Yes.
100%. Like it's not like he's put Fall Out Boy on the pick guard wrote his name all over it. It's really well done. It's like the other example of that brings to mind is like the Mark Tremonti PRS guitar, which is like one of the highest selling models ever, and the only reference to him is the truss rod cover that on the headstock.
Yeah,
and you can unscrew that if you don't
take
like
it off.
Him. Yeah. yeah, At the end of the day, if Pete Wentz designs a product that is, you don't have to be a Fallout Boy super fan to own, it is just going to result with more money in his pocket at the end of the day.
And I didn't realize how many people wanted a passive Stingray as well.
I would own a passive Stingray. I really, really like the active controls on my Stingray. I've got the free band Ray 34.
Yeah.
And I'm always messing with the treble and the mid-range, usually rolling one off and then boosting the other and then the opposite, literally from song to song.
Yeah.
It's like, I really, really enjoy it. However, I do long sets. Sometimes I forget to unplug
Excuse
my
me?
Bass.
Sets, sorry.
I practice a lot at home. I am always paranoid about batteries died in basses.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst thing about active basses. Like,
yeah.
Even if it's just like a preamp dying and then you've got like lower output, like, and still
also,
the thought of it.
Why is there no low battery warning on active bass?
Yeah.
Why have I not got a little LED in the back of the bass that lights up when it says you're running low now, you've really only probably got like a couple of hours left in it? Why is that not a thing?
I think there should be a sound that comes out of the bass when you play it and it's on low battery. Like, you're playing the notes, but it goes, like, if you did like a bowl, it would go low battery. Like, it would do it in tune.
Low battery, low battery.
Yeah, I think you should do it in tune with what you're playing.
Low battery.
Lower. If you go in like drop G, low.
I was going to say the ding wah one just sounds like. There should be seriously, I really do think there should be a small LED that lives somewhere on the bass that lights up to say, like, you are running low now.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe that would drain the battery. But yeah, then at the same time, it's a 9-volt battery. It's a 9-volt battery. That's not a little battery.
No.
Come on.
I definitely think that there is a gap for things like that, like little tweaks, you know.
Maybe that's what the dart ray is. People don't realise the red light isn't the distortion. Your battery's really low. Your battery's really low.
That's why it's all like fuzzy.
Yeah, yeah. All the preamps just cogged out. It's brr, 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 dang, dang. Brr, brr, brr.
Makes it sound like the world's ending. Back to the Pete Wentz.
Yes.
Let's, in contrast to the Dark Ray, talk about price.
Yes.
Because they released a very expensive bass, and then a not-so-expensive bass. Chris, how much do you think this bass is?
I did look, and I forgot. Isn't it about £700?
Less than $650. Pounds. It hasn't got a UK...
It's about the same now, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably going to be around the same. So $700, you're probably about right. It is more expensive than what, like, the original Squire was, but that is still a really, really good price for a signature, awesome-looking roasted maple neck Stingray with, like, essentially specs like a Ray 34,
yes,
but without the gubbins, you know, and really, really good. I'm really impressed. I don't really have a bad word to say about it either. So yeah, chuffed, bloody
absolutely.
Chuffed.
And we didn't talk about it, but both colours are really nice.
Yes,
I think I actually like the red more than. Oh, I do have a criticism.
Go on.
Am I right in saying that Pickguard is a little bit of a plasticky gold colour?
Yes, yes. I said that in my review as well. That I wish it was kind of muted a little bit, a bit like
anodized,
that Schecter.
Kind of.
Yeah, like the Schecter that I had. It's too like, oh, it's too amber. It has grown on me a lot on this bass in particular. But when it's in certain lights, yeah, really, like, really gets you.
Right.
There was one. Oh, yes. The other thing I was going to say about the price on this, I have to say props to Pete Wentz for wanting to keep that price low. Like with the Squire, his thought has always been like, I want it to be accessible to fans and younger players to inspire them to go and pick it up. And that's what an artist model was about. I really hope that the success of this bass inspires more like it, because I, and I'm sure you are too, sick of seeing these insanely expensive signature models that at the end of the day are just going to be for collectors, you know, and for people.
Yeah, and I understand, like, there is a place for an expensive signature model, but I feel like it, that shouldn't be the norm. Like, I believe Matt Hafey from Trivium has a Gibson Custom Shop signature model now.
Yeah.
But that's like all the way up there in terms of price. And that's acceptable because I believe he's had an Epiphone signature model for a very long time. And it should be the same with bass. And I think it should be like a hard and fast rule where if you are a signature artist, they should make you do an Indonesian-made import kind of model, you know, that kind of Squire, Epiphone, that kind of thing. You should have to do one of those and then like a full fat American. And then, oh, you know what? I'm going to go one further and be even meaner.
Ooh.
You've got, so let's pretend, now this is different for Pete Wentz, unless they have told him he has to do this. So you have to do a Sterling model first, and you have to do a full world tour with it.
Oh, interesting. On the
you've got to do a full touring cycle with that model. Yeah. Then,
off the shelf.
Next album around, off the shelf. Next album around, they'll release like a full fat American made. I think that should be the rule.
It's a pretty fun idea. Pretty fun. I like
it. Because
it's
like a put your money where your mouth is. Like, I know more signature guitars than I do signature basses. It's like Jim Root from...
It's a bigger market, isn't it?
I know. Well, yeah. Jim Root from Slipknot has a really successful signature Telecaster, which there's a Squire one, there's an Fender one. He said on several interviews they've had a tech problem where they can't get a guitar out, so they've ran to a local guitar shop, pulled one off the shelf, put new strings on it, and then gigged with it that night.
Yeah.
That's what you want. That's what I would want as a consumer. And if I ever was lucky to get to a point where I was releasing a signature product, I would want it to be where it's like, I can just take one out of the box, give it a very basic setup, you know, new strings, action, truss rod, and then it can do a full run of shows. That's what I would want. I wouldn't want like the Rex Brown Gibson Thunderbird comes with different pickups, I think, than what he actually uses, and the different bridge. So that's a bit naughty.
Brilliant. Yeah, because he doesn't want the stupid three-point bridge. Like, nobody does.
Exactly.
They've just got a lot of them in the factory, probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that I, as a consumer, want, Chris.
Oh, go on.
It's this.
Is it? Is it?
No, it's not.
How long do we have to talk about this one?
Not very long. We've got some new releases from Harley Benton. They were one of the kind of show-stopping stalls at the Guitar Summit. That's how long ago we're talking in terms of news. They brought along this seven-string pace that we've got here. I didn't quite know what it's inspired by. It looks like a PV Circus type thing, or it could be a BTB.
There is an Ibanez that looks like this.
Yeah, it's a BTB. I just remembered.
That one. Yeah, there we go.
That's why it's called the BZ7002NT. This is a seven-string bass with active preamp, and it makes the pickups look so small. Look at these small. They're so thin. Beautiful wood, it must be said. Like, that is...
Very true. Can't
astonishing.
Argue.
Astonishing.
Can't argue with that. Do you know what it is tuned to?
I assume it is going to be B to C. So it's just an additional... Oh, wait, no. It's a...
No, because that's
no,
a six
it's
string.
A seven. It's a seven. Yes, you're right.
Do we go one higher? Do we go a C up to an F?
There's people shouting at us right now. But
It's an F, surely.
It must be an F. It's not going to go... Or like even lower,
because
it
stays up in fourth, so it's B E A D G C F.
Yeah. Well, that's does it say the string?
Is that seven or is that six? Am I miscounting?
Stock strings.
No, that is seven.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the stock strings are 130 gauge, so that is 100% going to be a B. It's not going to be any lower than that. Well, 130. So yes, we've solved it. We've nailed it.
Excellent. And what's the high string?
17?
Seven.
That says
no.
Well, that says 17.
Oh, actually, no, that might be right.
17. Yeah, because 45.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know my six string and seven string gauges.
Not even right. Someone is screaming at us right now.
Yes, 100%. But if you know seven strings isn't your thing,
Then they've also got a four-string version, which looks tiny in comparison.
Look at the ukulele.
Yeah, look at the neck on that. It looks so small. I think this suits a five-string. It's a bit of a shame they didn't have it in a five-string, I think, because I think that's what it kind of suits. But I know that they're going after another product and want to go after that. Prices, it's Harley Benton. These are going to be pretty darn cheap. I'm going to check the price of the seven-string. Seven-string is $525. Not bad at all. And the price of the four-string is $398. So
not bad at all, to be honest.
For an active bass.
Yeah. I think the seven is ridiculous. It's not for me at all. But that four looks all right. It looks okay.
Yeah.
The horn is a bit long for me, which is not something I find myself saying too often.
Oi, oi. No, it's not for me. Like I said, a five string I can maybe stretch to because it's a bit wider, looks a bit more to scale maybe with it, but who knows. Speaking of things that aren't to scale, the next one is a short scale. Chris, you have now played one more short scale in your life.
I have.
Are you converted?
No.
Maybe you'll be converted by this.
It was good, though. I've said this so many times now, if I could have bought three basses from Bass Bros,
yes,
that would have been the third one.
And the Mikey Way jazz bass?
Number two.
Yes. Nice.
Number four would have been the...
Flea bass.
Not even close. That was the worst one. Which is funny because everyone told me I should have bought that one. I'm like,
yeah, everyone was loving
played
it.
Played horribly.
It's not good.
Didn't like it at all. No, the Nate Mendel. But the Nate Mendel was fantastic. I just already own a bass with quarter pounders. Yeah. And I already own a black and red bass.
Yeah, it's kind of redundant a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you made the right decision.
But nonetheless, short scale, very cool. I will get one eventually.
Yes, maybe it will be this one because now Guild have announced the limited Starfire Bass 2. Stop it. In black. The only news here is that this one is in black. They've done it in other colors before. You can't see it in this picture, but it's actually got like a cream binding on it, which looks, you can see it there. Bit of a cheap looking picture, but like the others look amazing.
Oh, it does look good.
It's exactly the kind of look I would want. If only the back of the neck and the sides in the back were like a mahogany color, like not black. That's my dream.
Am I correct in saying that you were the biggest fan of your Guild Starfire?
So
have I got that wrong?
No, you're correct. So the Guild I thought was good. I just didn't fall in love with it, to be honest. I really liked the one that I played at the Birmingham guitar show I went to, and I wish I'd bought that one. But I waited on it and bought the same one, but flats on it. Maybe they didn't suit it so well, but I just didn't gel with it in the end.
Okay. It's fair enough.
I was like, this isn't really giving me anything that I don't have because I already, it wasn't for me. However, I would love one of these because it's got these, the bisonic wide open humbuckers. And I think those pickups are awesome. They're really, really cool sounding. However, I was a bit disappointed with this. I'm going to hide the price. They probably just read it.
I already knew.
Because
I actually, for the first time, did research.
Oh, wowee. Well, when I saw
right?
this, I also love that the pickups were called the BS1. BS1. They're just full of BS. I definitely feel like this let me down a little bit because I was like, oh, it's Guild Starfire. Maybe it's going to be affordable, like the Guild Starfire 1. I don't really understand their namings of things. But this one is about $1,500. So, yeah, it's not really in the price point of what I would be looking to spend on something like this.
I see.
It's too niche.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not an outrageous price. Some of these go for way more. So it is good. And I have no doubt that it's a good base. But, I would have liked to have had one. But, no, I can't justify it at that price. Just a couple of totally average and totally not big salaried bass player, I'll say. That can't
Me
afford
too.
All these basses. Wow, wow, wow. Shall we move on to... Oh, no, we've still got... We're not even halfway through our news yet. not even halfway through. We're going to have to speed through some of these.
We are really going to have to power through. I mean, but to be fair, though, there are a few things that are coming up that are a bit like,
yeah, it's good. Next. Yeah. I think that's probably going to be the next one because we have got some new things from Spectre. This is an easy one. They have brought out some new colors of their Euro range, the 4 and the 5, the 4 being a PJ base, the 5 being two single coils. They brought it out in this gold, a metallic gold, which is really cool.
I love gold.
Yes, this is Goldfinger's base for sure.
Gold member.
What did I say? Goldfinger.
Yeah, you said, you said the actual one.
God damn it.
Cool. This is cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. I think the this other one's better in person as well. Probably
the other one is nicer, I think.
Oh, you like the blue one better?
I prefer the blue. Okay. I like the blue.
The blue is cool. I've
very a very reasonably priced £2,600.
Yeah, lovely. We'll take two, please.
Yes, we will. Well, I think that's kind of that one covered.
Yep, absolutely.
Do you have a preference, gold or blue?
I like the gold myself.
Okay, yeah.
And I like the 5-string. I think they just look so good.
I would like to try a reverse PJ. I'm yet to try one.
So I actually tried a reverse PJ Spectre the other day. That's weird, isn't it?
Did you know?
Yes. And I didn't like it. That's one
context.
Of my... I just played it in a guitar shop. That one.
Oh, okay.
But I've played a couple of reverse PJs before, and it's one of my unpopular bass opinions. Don't like them. I just think it doesn't. I'm predominantly playing on the E and the A, so I want those to sound
should be, really.
Yeah. How dare you? I might as well have a 2-string bass. I don't know. I don't like this. I just don't prefer it, Chris. Okay. Justify myself. I just don't like it.
Fair enough.
But what I do like is this. This is a new Fender Special Run Gretsch Electromatic Junior Jet 2. They brought out some new colors of the short scale bass last year, I think, and like Shell Pink and a couple of other bursts. And now they've one-upped it again by bringing it out in a special run. It's not the G22220. It's now the G2229B.
Wow.
So it's in
Someone's been talking to Ibanez about their product names.
Oh, God's sake. So now we can see it's got this ocean turquoise, I think it's a cream pickup outside.
Yeah.
This taut pickguard block inlays and this mahogany neck. I love this. I think this is really cool. You have played one of these?
I have played a Gretsch short scale. I think it's this.
It is. They don't do any others.
How do you know and I don't?
Because I have seen a picture of you or video of you playing it. And then
What it was then? It was black.
Yes.
Yeah, it's by friend Jax. I really liked it. I'm assuming if this isn't good as that, it's cool. But that's all really... I think I would rather just have it in black, though, personally. But...
Fair enough.
It is a nice colour.
This is the one for me. I love this neck. Like, the others have got maple, and like, that headstock, it's so nice. Like, it's just
back
that
of the neck
look
good
different.
As well.
Yeah, 100%. Like... the other's got maple. This one's a bit fancier. It's a bit more expensive, but not actually that much more expensive. It's only like, what, 40, 60 quid more expensive. So I think that's really, really good for a limited edition one that they do. I said Fender Special Run because Gretsch are owned by Fender. Interesting that they're calling it that.
Oh, because it's an FSR.
FSR, yeah. Fender Special Run. So I assume that they won't have this forever, but there we go. Yeah, cool. Big fan. Really like this. Next up, let's talk about strings, baby. Right, here we go. Oh, gosh, go away. So Dunlop have brought out some new strings. If you didn't know, this is the most exciting news, but I thought we'd cover it because someone out there would be interested. These are the new dual dynamic hybrid nickel bass strings. So these are essentially what they're saying are the mix between nickel strings and stainless steel. So stainless steel classically gives you a bit more bite and mid-range.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Range and nickel are a bit more, not subdued, but like a bit more low end, and they focus on that realm of it. So these are set to bring you the best of both with this layer of twin alloy bass strings. These are great. I love the idea behind that and like hybrid nickel strings. I don't think that's anything new. I think some other companies have done things like this before. Are the hybrid strings from Ernie Ball this same thing?
I think it's an Ernie Ball thing. Or at least Ernie Ball have done this before.
Yes. Good to have some different competitors in the market.
Yeah, very true.
I don't think they come in that many sizes, though. There's a 4-string and a 5-string version, but just 105s to 45s, which it will be the most people
well,
covered.
There's a... That's 45 to 125.
125,
ooh,
yeah.
Interesting, okay.
I would have liked a 130 or one...
Yeah, I mean, I'd like a 135, personally. I very rarely get along with a normal 5-string. I might be bad technique on my end. It might be the fact that I've got a ding wall so I can just punch the living crap out of the low B and it's fine because they've just given me a good 5 extra inches.
Wink, wink. Yeah, absolutely. Well, like, we can't all have a ding wall though, Chris, can we? I think it would be cool to have slightly thicker ones for more people because this is only going to fit certain players, like a
45 to 110. At least a 45 to 130.
Yeah.
A lot of bass players like a 100 as well.
Yeah, yeah. I dibble, dabble my toe.
I dabble my dibble in a 100 from time to time.
I dibble my toe, you know, that's what I do. Johnny Dabble, they call me. I expect if they do well, they'll bring out more sizes for sure. But yeah, cool. I've actually got some of these on my FGN at the minute. Because they sent me some to check out. And I thought...
That is a very bright bass.
Yes, yes.
Very, very bright bass.
Yeah. Well, and thanks to these new Dunlop String Lab dual dynamic strings. They're really good. I think they are good. So, yes, props to you, Dunlop. You've done it good.
Until Dunlop send me some, I will continue saying very nice things about D'Addario strings. who have never sent me any either, but I only have D'Addario strings. I've just realised.
Wow, exclusive.
Yeah, well, yeah, do I have, yeah.
Sure, I don't.
I've only ever used them on guitar. I've only ever used them on bass.
In the pocket, sponsored by.
We should start. Not the first person to do this. We should start lying and pretending that we're like sponsored by various bass companies.
Yes, yes.
I think we should start doing that. Who should we start with? It should be a brand that we have just like never spoken about on the podcast.
No, it needs to be. It should be Dark Glass.
In the pocket, sponsored by Heartkey.
Oh God, no.
I like Harky, man.
Nothing wrong with Harky.
Nothing wrong with Harky at all. Sponsored by... We never talk about Lainey.
Yeah, don't mind Lainey. Cool.
Yeah. You had a Lainey Digbeth.
I did. It was good fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we also talk about another amp company that is good
fun?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's.
That is Ashdown. Our friendly folk over Ashdown. Well, hey. Sponsored by Ashdown. No, we're not.
Sponsored by Ashdown. Kind of is.
If you looked at our Instagram, it looks like it. it's just content.
Mine and your Instagram right now is literally that bit in Wayne's World where they do the joke about sponsorships.
It's just everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
we're just covered in it. Smothered.
Absolutely.
In
the drip.
So I'm going to start things off with the CTM-15. This is they kind of relaunched this amp. It is a 15-watt tiny little tube amp that is meant to be one that you use at home. You know, like you might think, oh, 15 watts, that's not much. But for tube amp, it's pretty good. And it is loud. We have heard this at volume at Ashdown. It loud, okay?
It loud. Loud it, noun.
Yeah.
Loud.
Exactly. We've got simple controls, just gain, bass, middle, treble, and a volume. Classic VU meter on there. It is tiny, this thing. It does weigh quite a lot, but for a valve amp for studio sessions, £600, it's pretty good, actually.
I really don't think you can beat this. It was really good. Really good.
It was my, like, out of the amps that we tried there that day, it was definitely up there as one of my favourites. Like, there
was my
one.
Second favourite thing we tried there.
It is mine as well. The other thing they have coming out. No, I think they've spoken about it, but we shan't on their behalf.
No.
I'm sure it will be another news thing coming soon. Yes, this is a very good amp. Thoroughly enjoyed. Shall we? We've got quite a few Ashdown things here. Let's move on to the next one. Another thing we tried, and one that you're a big fan of. Here we have the Ashdown Triple Shot. This is not a new product. It is just in a new look and feel to kind of match the rest of the range. It was looking a bit... It was a good casing before, but now it definitely looks a bit more professional and looks even nicer. This is an awesome pedal. Chris, do you want to explain what this pedal does, essentially?
I'll give it a go. Essentially, the triple shot is, am I right in saying it is essentially like a bit of like a parametric EQ distortion pedal where you essentially have independent control over the volume and gain on the bass, mid, and treble. It's not a new concept. You know, obviously, the... certain company that we talk about very often have a very popular pedal that does this, but this is, I would say, slightly different in terms of it's a lot more simple to operate because you have really got, this is the bass, how loud do you want it? This is the middle, how loud do you want it? This is the treble, how loud do you want it? And then you've got the actual gain part of it. But this is a cool pedal. I enjoyed this. The sound we got on that little demo we did with my Dingwall was like that kind of, we kind of for a laugh, did the Dingwall thing, didn't we? And kind of put loads of drive on and made it really scooped and, you know, kept the low end relatively clean, but super overdriven on the higher end. And it was a really good pedal. I really enjoyed it. If anything, you can go too far with it, I think, because there was more than enough gain. I actually thought we should turn it down a little bit, but it was really good tonight. I like this pedal. I think it's really good. It does the dark glass thing really well, because that's kind of just an easy way to describe it, I'd say. But it's rock solid. It doesn't break the bank for pricing. This, with a compressor in front of it, would be mega.
Yeah. Whoa, Nelly. So I think this pedal is amazing for how adaptable it is. Like, with especially just because I'm, you know, like you just said, not having much drive on the low at all, and then really sculpting it based on these four controls down here, being the light and medium, and then how much drive you've got on each. For my Foo Fighters tribute, I gigged this pedal recently, and with a P bass, Man, this pedal sounds so good. It sounds so good. When you can really drive the mid-range that you're getting through from the P, sounds awesome. If you want some more of that modern tone, then you can drive in some of the roast on the light side of it, on the high end. And yeah, it's really good. Whatever bass you're putting in front of it, it sounds great. And it doesn't just like suck all the character out and go, this is the sound of this pedal. It is like an accentuated version of what you're playing. So I think it's really, really great. I will move on to another pedal now from Ashdown, the last one. I should have said that pedal was £200.
Which is not bad at all for what it is.
No. I think that's a good price. Now we've got Ashdown dipping their toes back into the DI world with the new Ashdown Pro DI for £300. This is a all-in-one pedal. We've got drive. We've got all the classic things on Ashdown you want there. Your bass, low, mid, middle, high, mid. It's a bit confusing to look at this one, I do think, a little bit. Controls are kind of all over the place. A shape button as well, which is really nice. A direct line mix control, cool. Padding for active and passive basses. Yeah, it does everything that you want a preamp to do, I suppose, with a separate drive section as well for that kind of tubey drive. I have got one of these with me now. I've only plugged it in once to make sure it makes some sounds before giving it a proper demo. I haven't properly dived into it yet. So I can't really comment yet on the sound of this because I'm not too sure. I just did it direct. I want to put it in front of some cabs and some amps because that's how I like to use these types of products. But yeah, cool, man. Cool. Have you heard any of this one at all?
No. We didn't. This is one of the very few things that we didn't get to mess around with on the Ashdown trip. And then I ended up messing around with, expressed a bit more interest in messing around with the amp over the Pro DI. I understand what it does. I think it's one of them where it's probably like, you might not plug it in and go, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like a rock. I get the impression it's like a pretty rock solid DI. Like, you know, you could have a pretty simple. I mean, the only thing this doesn't do is compress. That's like the only thing. Am I right in saying there's no compressor on this? Is there?
No compressor.
No, it seems to do everything else.
Yeah.
But
which
literally,
is surprising, really.
Yeah, but I feel
Ashdown
like if
often
you
have them built into amps.
Yeah, maybe they just chose not to on this for this example. But I feel like as a very small pedal board with like a tuner, a compressor, and then that really, I mean, I easily do a working gig with just that pedal. Absolutely.
Yeah. It is £300, which I think is quite a lot of money.
I think that's on the higher end for a but then again, how much is everything else in this space? So thinking the MXR DI?
Yeah, well, that's like 180 quid.
Right. Okay. Sansamp?
They're about 220, I think.
This
kind of price range, you're looking at what the Origin Effects bass rigs, the new Ampeg one, although they're maybe a little bit over that. They might be like
Are they more than that? Aren't they closer to like the 400 range? And I'm pretty sure that Ampeg one's like 500 quid, isn't it?
Oh, and you're right.
I thought the Ampeg one was kind of in the same price as those big dark glass ones, you know, like the Atom and the Photon.
So the Ampeg one is £380.
So yeah, so it is quid more than this.
Yeah.
But that has cab sims as well.
Yes. And that's the thing.
And a compressor.
Yes. That's the thing. I think that
it's shiny.
I think this looks great and it sounds good. But I would like cab sim, for instance, the ability to have that and turn it on and off, because I think for a DI, if I'm going to be straight DIing, I kind of want that option now.
I don't know, you know. I just got back a recording that I did really recently. It's the thing I sent you, Johnny. And this is where I find out if you listen to it or not.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Great. But the tone on that is, I'm very happy with it. And that was a DI.
Sorry, is this you playing the one, the video?
The video.
Yes, I have watched that.
Yes,
I listened
to it in the car
like a raving
lunatic
for best audio.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm back and forth.
No cab sim. No cab sim on that. That's the SVT in the quad cortex with no cab sim.
Really?
Straight into the desk.
Oh. I think the playing style affects that quite a lot. Because like if you're playing like pick and Lawrence, like the stuff that I do.
Oh, with drive like, and stuff. Yeah, you need a cab sim.
Yeah, like for me, the stuff that I do, like, it just never sounds good.
Yeah,
I
but do, like, clean wedding tone, whatever. This is more than fine. Yeah. I could do a wedding gig with this very comfortably, but not everyone would want to.
No, I appreciate that. With DI tones, I have done not 180, let's say 90, because I'm still on the fence. I've been really, really enjoying DI tones recently, and just like the P Wentz bass, just plugged it in,
yeah,
played on the DI, and I was like, it sounds great, like so much fun.
I think it works really well because it separates the bass from the guitar so much, because all of a sudden you've got this clean tone with its own sort of like mid-range focus, which is separate to the guitars. Yeah. But for example, that would sound great on like a corporate gig. However, for say something like my band, like Darla, I want a distorted tone with like a cab sim. If anything, I was looking into how what's his face from Spirit Box does his bass tones, and yeah, they actually use a guitar cab sim on the upper mid range, and it's the same IR response that Mike Stringer, the guitarist, uses. So the whole point is the distorted part of the bass signal is sort of a continuation of the guitar tone. So it all sits together really nicely, which I think is a really cool idea.
Yeah, I love that way of thinking when it comes to things like that. Like,
so you get this big wall together of frequency response. But for stuff that's a bit more gentle, I can live without cab sim, absolutely.
Gentle, my favorite.
The gentleman.
The ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on to another amp company. Here, Ampeg. Hello. Ooh. I brought out some new stuff. Also, can I just say, is this Ampeg's website? This looks horrific.
This is Ampeg's website.
What are they doing?
Sorry. God, what is this? Is this Tech 21?
Jesus. we'll get on to that in a minute.
We'll get on to that. I have good things to say about this, but anyway, please begin. Yes.
So the Ampeg Adventure series, we've got three new heads and 5 new cabs that we've got here. I aim to be kind of Siri is now wanting me to do things. No, I didn't ask for you. You're called Ampeg.
Believe it, that
did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really cool. They're basically trying to do SVT on a budget, I think. Like, it's mid-price point class D amps that kind of give you a bit of everything. Really, really competitive market. And
very narrow. Very class D. Anywhere from 5 to 1,000 watts.
Yeah.
Yeah, big competitive market. Yeah. And pretty much everyone's got a big player in the game now.
Exactly. So they really needed to make some moves with. Oh, look, there's one of those Guild basses in the background. That's cool.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So cool. Let's go through our lineup here. We have got a 1200 watt version, 700 watt version, and a 300 watt version of the same head. I believe they're quite similar in terms of spec.
I think they're exactly the same. They're just volume,
just different wattage. Very, very cool. We've got foot switchable overdrive with these, the classic ultra high and ultra low, as well as a 3-band preamp. Yeah, it's like a class D SVT. There we go.
Yeah, compression as well.
Yes, yes, yep. Yes, all built in. Yeah. Very, very cool.
I think, if I remember correctly, there's a cab sim as well.
Oh, is there?
I think there is. Just double check, because I looked into this earlier today, or is it the style of overdrive? I think there's something where it swaps between like SVT style and B15 styles.
It's what it says here, the overdrive circuit with those two voices.
I mean, so let's be honest, you'd put that on the SVT because it's the SVT.
Yeah. Absolutely. You go, oh, this sounds good. And then you change it over to the other one. You're like, oh no, this sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hang on. If you're telling me if I click this switch, it immediately sounds like every good bass tone ever.
Yes,
because
please.
That's what they all used. Yeah.
Onto the cabs. Very clean looking, by the way. We've got this 410 classic.
Yeah.
A 212. The Ampeg 212. Very good. A 210, which looks weird. It looks like it's on. It's just been knocked over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's nothing like my 210. My Ampeg 210.
Yeah. I guess you could have it upright with the logo the other way around, but.
Yeah, I mean.
I'd have a 210.
I prefer mine because it's like tall and narrow.
Yeah.
But.
Wink, wink.
But I would say you are going to get more low end from that cab than mine because you've got both speakers on the floor.
Interesting.
I might try that at my gig. Whoa. I might put the amp on its side and see what it does.
And then get another one and stack that on top.
Yeah, then bring my 410 and complete.
Yes.
I've got my 410 and my 610 like next to me. I don't think I've got enough power to power them.
You
though.
Have a 610?
No, I have a 410 and a 210. So
oh,
a 610.
Sorry. Sorry. Yes. Sorry. Just strap them together. Done.
No, I don't have a 610. I would not be allowed a 610. I'm trying to downsize. If anything,
I've
I'm
owned
that guy.
A 610.
I'm that guy who's always going, do we need an amp? Do we have to bring it? Do I have to?
Oh, my back.
Oh, really? One more trip to the car? Really? Do I look like a drummer?
Wish you were. It wouldn't be on this podcast.
I wish I was. Sorry.
We've got a 115 cab, yeah. Course, cool. Classic, and then a 112 as well, which is interesting.
That's cute.
So cute. So, classic range of cabs and some, you know, more modern ones with the 212 as well, which is very popular now. Cool.
Question.
Yes.
Do we have price?
Aha, ha, 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 ha. Well, I thought you would ask that, Chris, and so I've not looked it up. So should we find out?
Yes, because this looking at like the higher end one, that 1200 watt one, if it's too expensive, it's going to blow itself out of the market.
I'm going to blow myself
out of the market. Because the most expensive, how much is, so the Dark Glass AO900 is about 1200 quid.
Okay.
No.
So I have the price.
Okay.
How much do you think the 1200 watt version is?
£1,500.
From guitar, right now is £1,000.
Not bad at all.
I think that's really good. So
that's really good.
A lot of the time, and this, honestly, if inflation has affected a lot of things, but I feel like bass amps kind of have stayed. It's weirdly similar.
I think it's like, because they know we don't have any money.
They're like, we can't afford to throw the price up because they will not buy it.
But also, I think it depends on everyone else because I believe, like, I can, the only Class D amp I own or have owned is an AO900.
Yeah.
And I think the 12 or 14, I think really? The 1200. And that does everything this does.
So very, very roughly in Class D world, this isn't the case, but I always base it on £1 per watt. And so I think that's a good price.
That's
a good price.
That's not bad. Yeah, that doesn't work for a Class A or a valve amp, but it works for Class D.
£15 for that Ashdown. Brilliant.
oh my God. An Ampeg SVT for £100.
So like the 700 watt version is £789. So nearly okay. There. And then the 300 watt version is 450. So not quite, but it's that kind of realm of thinking. You can definitely get things for around that price range.
Yeah.
So price-wise, I don't think these are too bad.
I don't think these are bad at all. I think that is a very, very good price for what that is.
I would 100%. Opt for the 700 watt version myself. If I go to 12 of those. 1200 watt aroonies.
Yeah, I'd go for that because then I will never not need a louder amp.
Yeah, true.
Because my AO900 is so loud. Like, so loud.
Yeah.
And clean, I might add. Very, if you run it on clean, it can literally go all the way up to, like, extremely loud with so much headroom.
Yeah. And that's what you want at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's not a bad amp at all. It's not bad.
No. I really want a new app that's coming out that we know about in the 800 watt version
And you would be absolutely correct, and so do I.
Yes. This one, back to the Ampeg. The thing I don't like about this is how they've marketed it. So I shared a bit of this on my Instagram story, at Johnny Dibble, go and follow, about these amps when they were released. Because, my God, the absolute heinous playing on the demos that they did
these. Oh, no, how bad is it? I've not seen it.
It's good playing.
Yeah,
That's part of my problem.
Like, okay.
All right, so we're going to demonstrate this Ampeg Class D amp. What genre should we get to play? I know. Let's get a fusion jazz tapping bass on a fan fretted Dingwall. Like, it was, I'm not joking, it was pretty much that. Like, it was so niche of a demo.
Okay,
here's how this bass amp sounds. And just like tapping or like ridiculous sound demos. And
Well, you know why that's being done, don't you? It's because that gets views.
Yeah, and I'm talking
doesn't about demonstrate it. The products. It's like we were talking about this with those couple of little bits of demos we did with Ashdown, because we were both saying to ourselves when we were filming them, I feel like this is like, is my playing like boring? Am I? and then we realized, oh wait, no, we're demonstrating this is what it sounds like when you play a very normal bass part through this amp.
Yeah, and that's
as opposed to like mental like double thumb string skipping, tapping and stuff.
Honestly, like that is, we joke and say totally average bass players at the start, but I kind of pride myself on being that sometimes in terms of a product demo because...
Makes sense. Yeah.
Because it's what people want to hear. And it's not like, obviously if I'm incredible, anything I play is going to sound good. You know, like let's hear what it sounds like that's actually going to be useful. I don't know. I'm thinking as a consumer. I just think that's what's helpful. And the videos that Ampeg put out were just so unhelpful. And I was wetting myself with laughter watching them. Like, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. So Ampeg, send them my way, please.
All right.
I will play badly through your amps, okay?
And I will play worse.
Johnny
will probably play in time. I will play in tune.
Who wants that?
Exactly.
Who wants that? Let's move on. Chris, it's our last piece. Oh, no, it's not our last piece. Sorry.
No, we're nearly there, though.
We're nearly there. I haven't got the tab up for this one, though, but we'll be quick about this one.
Okay.
I'm not going to share my screen for this one. Here we go.
Well, hello.
We need to talk quickly about the breaking news from Fender, and that is the release of their Tone Master Pro. So they took the internet by storm by announcing, just like dropping it on the internet, that they have done a profiler, you know, a profiler, right word? Modeler.
Modeling unit, profiler. But it doesn't do profiles, though.
No. So it's a modeler. That's the word I was looking for. So stepping on the toes of, you know, the Line 6 Helix and similar realms to the, although not profiling, of like Kemper. And Cortex is very much that one all-in-one on the floor type unit.
It's that genre of piece of equipment.
Yes. And I was super excited about this. I was like, yeah, look, oh my God, yes, they've done it. They've brought one out. It looks super clean, super easy to use. Amazing. No bass. Nothing.
No bass.
I'm so offended by this.
Big thumbs down from Danny Sparko.
No, he'd love it. He'd be like, let's hear it on bass. And then just cycle through just
top five bass presets.
Cycling through. No.
And if anyone thinks this is a mockery of him, by the way, it's not, because I really like his videos and it's nice to have a fellow northerner talk about bass.
Well, why don't you guys go and start your own podcast, okay?
Well, mine do. In pocket,
where we talk about bass.
Talk about bass and alt mines and how Maggie Thatcher ruined everything. Gravy. Macra.
Sorry, Danny. We'll have you on. We'll gladly have you on.
Yeah, absolutely. let's talk about this pile of garbage. I mean,
there's not much to say, really, is there?
It costs more than Quad Cortex, I think.
Yeah, which is...
And it's just not as good. And everyone I know who's tried both has gone... Now, the Quad Cortex gets ragged on a fair bit online. But that's not, but it gets ragged on because there are a lot of features that they said was going to come out at launch and didn't.
Yeah.
And it's only really now, the so well over 2 years later, they've just brought out the editor, the desktop editor for the unit.
I can't believe that.
I know. But the desktop editor is a very different desktop editor compared to like the Kemper's desktop editor. It's lot better. The Kemper one's awful.
But, terrible to use.
And they've just been starting speaking about plug-in integration, and they're integrating it a lot better than I thought they were going to do. So I bet you didn't know this, Johnny Dibble. What you can do is, with the Quad Cortex, when the integration is released, let's pretend you own the Plini plugin, for example. Now, the Plini plugin, that's hard to say, comes with like three different amps, four different pedals, whatever. If you own the plugin, you can drop an individual pedal from the plugin into the chain on the Quad Cortex. So it's not what I thought it was going to be, where you can just boot up the plugin and use the plugin and that's it on the unit. You can take individual components from the actual full plugin and just drop them into any part of your signal. So I've got like the B7K, the Dark Glass Ultra plugin already. So my understanding is I can just lift the Vintage Ultra from that and drop it in front of an amp inside the Quad Cortex.
That's cool.
But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. This Fender thing does not interest me at all. There isn't even a Fender basement in it. And that's one of the most iconic guitar amps of all time. And it's not in there.
Chronic. They must be doing an update or down the line another version.
No, there will be. And also, I know people who know people. And
whoa.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. And I hear some of the testing for the new Toadmaster was someone brought a Quad Cortex into the office and they basically went, what's good about this? Let's nick it. Nobody sue me. Because that's a rumor. I'm not saying that's true.
I don't even doubt that for a second.
You know,
like,
it's literally a case of I heard from a friend of a friend that unit was a 10 out of 10.
I mean, that is just market research the other day, isn't it?
Like, yeah, when you think about
our competitors, what can we do that is our own spin on this? You know, essentially, that's what most things are. So that doesn't surprise me. Boo. Let's end on a light note, shall we?
Yes.
I've got to learn how to share my screen again now. This is a disaster.
This is a good one, though.
Chris,
this is a good one.
Don't let me do this, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to
don't
give,
let you do what?
Sharing screen duties, I think this needs to be you.
Oof.
Here we go. Good things. Chris, you're a big fan of our Frank Bello, aren't you?
I am a big fan of Frank Bello. I think he's a very, very good player.
Got a beautiful bass signature from Charvel, and now he has a... I'm hesitant to use the word beautiful, but he now has a signature pedal from the legends over at Tech 21, famous for the Sans amp. He's got his own version of a Sans amp. It's essentially a drive pedal for Frank Bello. Very, very cool. Have you heard this yet?
Yeah, I watched some of the demo videos on the Tech 21 website earlier today. It sounds really good. Have you listened to it?
I heard like a handful of notes and went, yeah, sounds good.
Okay. I mean, it was quite quick, but it sounded really good. When you turn it on normally, it's got that kind of like sans ampy sound. We know what that is. You know, the guy who's demoed it was playing like a J-style bass with a pick. You know, like proper aggressive. I mean, Frank Bello is primarily a fingerstyle player, but he can't half bonk a bass, I'll tell you that. When they stuck the drive on, it sounded great.
Yeah.
It's different to, I originally thought, because obviously the other signature model Sans Amp is the Geddy Lee one, There's also a Billy Sheehan one. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
And neither of those sound like this, and vice versa, which I thought was quite good.
That's good. Because it is a Sans amp that's been tweaked, essentially, isn't it? Or like the
drive. It just sounded like a Sans amp, but imagine you've stuck like a, I don't know, like what's kind of like a really aggressive mid-rangey bass drive pedal. You know, like a Vintage Microtubes or a... Vintage Microtubes, that kind of thing.
See, that's kind of the thing that I like, because I love a Sans amp. I love the Sans amp, a classic one. But I'm not huge on Sans amp drive. Like when you turn the drive up on it.
Yeah, it doesn't really do what you want, does it? Well, I don't think it doesn't do what I want, but this does. This does. It's really
good. That's what I want. And that's because I've had a couple of the Doug Pinnick pedals. The first time I had it, I was like, this drive sounds really cool, but I wish it was kind of, when it was clean, it was the Sans amp. I want the Sans amp sound, and then drive sound on top. And I feel like that's what these other signature pedals kind of go after. They're like, I'm a long time Sans amp user. I want it to do this, you know, and I want my drive sound to be built into it. So yeah, I'm definitely going to go away and listen to this a bit more. I can definitely see myself playing through one of these. Sometimes,
me too.
Sometimes I'll look at a pedal and be like, "Yeah, I bet that sounds good," and I just know that this one will. Although it's not the prettiest of pedals, I don't think.
It's okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike it.
No,
I don't love it, but I don't look at it and go, "Ooh."
I think Tech 21 have a bit of a branding problem.
You think?
They're like, come on, like what is this? Who's done this? So it's, what is this? Come on. I do graphic design and some web design in my job. and so some things piss me off. That's pissed me off. But here we go. Tech 21, I love you nonetheless. I think you're fantastic. I love what you do. So I would love to try one. So yeah, that would be very, very cool indeed. That, Chris, we've been going for well over an hour now. Can you believe?
Not bad. Not as long as I thought this would take,
really,
to be honest with you.
Well, I was like, you know, half hour episode. So easy. Bang, 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 done. But, you know,
well, no, but we had a lot of new... Like, I was in my head, I was thinking this is going to be like a 2-hour episode.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Well, we've done
very
well. I
was mentally prepared for this.
I take it back. We've done so well. I had to take my jacket off. It got so hot. All this hot and spicy, fresh news. So that brings us to the end. Let us know in the comment down below or on our individual Instagrams what you think is your favorite bit of news out of this. Love to hear your thoughts on... Yeah, all the stuff we've spoken about today and what you're most excited about in the future. If you at home want to get involved in any future episodes, ask us questions, or just keep up to date with the latest things, all the latest things in the pocket, then please, please, please go ahead and follow us on Instagram at InThePocketPod. That's where we're kind of most active at the moment, if not here on YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, what are you doing? It's much more enjoyable. You should come and see our faces. They're not too ugly. We swear. So, subscribe to us on YouTube for youtube.com/InThePocketPodcast. I think it is. I'm good at this job, okay? And then, please subscribe and rate us 5 stars on your listening platform of choice. It really, really helps us out. Something to do with algorithms to... boosted out to more people, like-minded low-end legends, you know, that wants to listen to this podcast. So please, please do so. Chris, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me quite literally everywhere under That Guy on Bass. Please consider listening to my band, Darla. I've plugged them every single episode. We have an EP coming out called Human Nature, which is out real soon. I should probably double check when the date is, but it is soon and there may be more songs on the way. Also, I think it's worth saying if anyone has any suggestions for future guests for the podcast, don't let us know, let them know, you know, reach out to those people that you like speaking to, you know, tag us in the comments on their posts, get in touch, reach out to them and say, hey, do you want a cup? You should go on this podcast that I like. Don't message us because they don't talk to us. We wish they did, but they don't. We're trying.
Yeah, that is fantastic ideas all round, I think. You know, we want to get more and more really cool people on here to
we really have really do.
Cool conversations. We're sick of each other. We're sick of each other.
Absolutely. We have run out of things to say.
We need a third person in this relationship, honestly. The sex is really throuple. Stale. I mean, yeah.
We'll leave it there, shall we? You can follow me on YouTube and Instagram / and at Johnny Dibble. So please go and do that
bi-weekly based content that you can find on there. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.